Hey, what's going on? In today's podcast, we sit down with Matteo Vogel. Matteo is a pro MMA fighter with a 4-1 record. He holds a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He is one of the highest ranked Canadian prospects, so don't be surprised to see him fight in the UFC in the near future. During the podcast, we touch on mindset, what the importance of purpose is, controlling the monster, and what has fighting brought him. As always, you can find us on all platforms at Podcast RJL. So like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. All of our episodes can be found at rjlp.net/episodes. Peace! Going on, man? We're on. We're sitting here at one of the 20 gyms that has new era combat sports gym. We're in the one in the Pean, right? I haven't been in this one for a while. Sitting here with Matteo, we're gonna turn our threesome into a twosome today. It's cracking.
It's getting more intimate.
Yeah. Guys, if one thing I suggest, if you can see the YouTube video, Matteo is a well dressed individual. He's just a kid. I think he still buys his clothes in the kids section, but they're beautiful clothes, yeah, man.
Thanks, man.
Good looking boy.
It's amazing the sizes they come in nowadays. All this length.
I was looking at you. I'm like, I don't get it. Oh, you're saying I just called you a child. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. How old are you? You're like 24?
24.
Nice. Good for you. It's interesting because we've known each other for a little while, but we've never really spoken until 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You're a very smart kid. You have a very enlightened brain for 24 years old. Not only, I was talking about you with Crew Jeff, and sorry, I'm not sucking up to you. I'm just an honest person. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Jeff about you, and it's been a while since I've seen a 24-year-old that understood what it takes to succeed.
I think this comes from, it comes from being obsessed with this for so long. I growing up kind of differently than everyone else. I really took the time at an early age to focus on what I wanted. I knew what I wanted from maybe the age of 14 years old.
Fuck, 10 what years I wanted ago to do. Already.
Yeah. You know what I mean? At an early age, I knew I wanted to fight in the UFC and I wanted to be one of the greatest champions of all time.
And you know what? I think you have what it takes. Mentally, you have what it takes. And that's the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Techniques are available everywhere. If you want to know techniques, there's fucking turn on your YouTube and you'll see all the techniques that you want to see. But you don't teach discipline, you don't teach will, you don't teach goal settings, you can't teach someone to sacrifice. They will either do it or they will not, and in today's society, most people are not ready to sacrifice for what they want. Mm-hmm. So it's very impressive to have somebody your age that already, I didn't understand that at 24, so good on you, man.
I think a lot of people don't even know what they want.
No. Oh, no, that's an understatement.
That's a whole different people don't even know where they stand in this world, you know what I mean?
That's where it starts, too, huh? How can you set a goal if you don't know what you want?
Yeah.
How many times I've heard people say, I want to retire on a beach. Okay. How long are you going to sit your fat ass on that beach? It's going to get boring real fucking fast, if you ask me.
Yeah.
After the second day, I'm going to go nuts. I'm not meant to sit down and do nothing.
I think it was Peterson that talked about that too. He's like what people think they want in life versus what they actually want. What they want is to have responsibility and meaning. What they want is to exist with some kind of challenge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need to have a purpose.
Yeah.
It's also Peterson, which turns out that we're both big fans. So
huge fan.
We will, for sure, we got along. We're for sure you and I will get along.
Yeah,
the one thing that Peterson explains is that the reason we see so many problems in our society right now, so many people complaining about what other people do and watching what, it's like what's going on right now where the government's asking you to snitch on your neighbor if you see that there's too much cars in their parking lot. One, if you weren't that much of an asshole, maybe they would have invited you. That's one.
But just resentment, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
You maybe didn't invite that, me, that bitch.
That's exactly why I didn't invite you asshole. But the second part is we have too much time on our hands.
Yeah.
People are so bored. They're not challenged. They're bored. They don't have any passions. They spend all their life on their phones and watching Netflix, that they forgot that we all need purpose.
Yeah, there's like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people that say they want to be something too, and they're almost, I don't want to say people lying to themselves, but like, there's people who say, for instance, like, how many guys walk in and say, I want to be a fighter?
Oh, fuck, it's probably a lot. They've watched one UFC and they're like, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you can.
Yeah.
Maybe you can.
But a lot of people don't know what that entails. And a lot of people very early on want the same kind of reward without the
sacrifice.
The sacrifice, exactly. They want the reward without the sacrifice. So many people say they want to do something and they want to be treated like the king. They want to be treated like a champ, or they want to be like looked at that way. But like, they haven't really put in that, they haven't put in the mileage, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't really been here, like, struggling and failing. They haven't been through enough of those kind of like, of that adversity almost to like, even come close to touching that.
They probably never will with that mentality. That's what's a bit unfortunate too, is without adversity, you'll never grow. Mm-hmm. There's
no reason to grow if you don't face some kind of pain, you know what I mean? Or some kind of like failure or some kind of complete like annihilation. If you don't face that, there's no reason to have to adapt or grow.
No, human beings are adaptable creatures and we don't change unless we have to. It's just unfortunate that I don't think it's being taught anymore. It's a fact of life that everybody should realize that you get what you put in. If you want a mediocre result, put mediocre effort, and it's okay. Again, it comes back to what we were talking about before the podcast, and it's okay. It's okay to be number five. It's okay not to be the best in the world. It's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
If I ever have kids and whatever I tell them, they don't want to push more. They don't have what it takes to become the best at something. It's okay.
Yeah.
But don't expect people to treat you like you're the best.
No, it's crazy, like, this how people can't make that connection. Like, people, I don't know, like, and it's just like people want the glory without the sacrifice. That's basically the best way to say it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to fuck, who was I talking to that was telling me that? He was telling me that in his classes, he's seeing a lot of kids. Oh, it's yesterday. It's Sifu, Patrick Marcel. He was saying how he sees a lot of his kids that wants to be YouTubers and they want to be,
I know, that's crazy,
creating content.
Yeah. I ask kids what they're like, or I have kids like from the kids class coming up to me and like asking me if I know all these YouTubers. I've never heard of these people in my life. I've never felt old before.
Yeah. But like now,
like, I'm 24 years old. I've never felt old before in my life. And like, I've got kids like missing my references. Like, I'm making references that I think kids will understand. And like, it's over their head.
Yeah. But I got a feeling you read. That's the problem. Most
not,
kids.
Not very much, man.
No?
No. I listen to a lot of stuff.
But okay.
I don't want, yeah.
It's so what I was going with this is they believe that it's easy.
Mm.
I can tell you I've never thought of myself as someone that would create content, but here I am creating content as we speak. It's not that easy, man. The amount of time that it takes that you need to put in. You know, I do intros for all I'll do an intro for this podcast. So I'll do a bit of research on you. I'll see what you are and my feel from when we spoke. I'll re-listen to the podcast, what you said and all that stuff. And I'll make a minute intro. Mm. Sometimes it's one take to do it. Sometimes it takes me 25 takes to do it. So that's 25 minutes to 30 minutes to 40 minutes to create one single minute of content.
Yeah.
So that it sounds good. doesn't need to be perfect, but that's 1 minute. So what you see is the result. You don't understand that that person might have been that 1 minute video. Maybe he's put in 10 hours in that 1 minute video because he needs to research the subject. He needs to record it. He needs to lay it out so it makes sense. He needs to edit it. Some of them are just garbage and somehow they're still very popular, but
they just have this got something magnetic about them. You know what I mean? I don't know. People find a way, but like you're bringing that up and it's reminding me, like I was so naive to how video shoots worked too. I realized like from now doing them, like I work with Sixth Sense Digital, with my friend Adam. It made me realize, like, I'm gonna see like all the work they put into actually making this so beautiful and how nitpicky they are and how very precise everything has to be. And like, they have to like walk through and like change the whole set, and they have to like nitpick everything that the camera could even possibly ever pick up. And then the amount of time you're spending shooting versus how much footage is going to be used. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But they don't realize that because they've never done it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize now. I just started recording things. So now I notice I'm watching the video. I'm like, fucking idiot. You should have done this. The lighting wasn't good.
So it's like watching your own jiu-jitsu match.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, but you have to be self-critical too.
Yeah.
I think that's a good segue right there, because I strongly believe that that is one of the best quality somebody can possess. A human being needs to be self-critical. I'm very hard on myself, extremely hard on what I do. People tell me all the time, oh, you're doing great, you're doing this. I'm like, yes, but I can be better at this, I can be better at that. And I think you need that obsession in order to succeed at something.
Man, so many people are sheltered from that so much that they don't even have that ability. That nowadays, like young, like I don't know, there's people that are incapable of any kind of self-criticism, because that to them being told that they're wrong just makes them uncomfortable, even from themselves.
But it's okay to be uncomfortable. You better get fucking used to being uncomfortable. I know,
but everyone lives in a
bubble.
Everyone lives in a bubble now. Everyone's bubble wrapped.
A bubble wrapped, and the wrapper's pink to make everything nice. There's unicorns and there's butterflies on bubble.
And they've never been told no before, and people, you know.
How is it with, because you, as an instructor, you teach the youth, right? Mm-hmm. Do you see that a lot? Like, do you see the kids that you teach, the way they behave, does it scare you sometimes? Like, because you'll have kids eventually, I would imagine.
Here and there. Like, here and there, I get some crazy stuff. The kids here at this gym are awesome.
Yeah.
I have a lot of kids who I think are like, could be future champions, and like, the group that we got here is really good, and they don't nothing really concerns me or anything like that, but like over the years, like I taught kids at an old gym I was at too and stuff, and like, yeah, like you can see that, like you can see those all different, just the way people react to criticism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can tell you can almost tell like how people's parents interact with them.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll always remember I was I've been married before, and my ex-wife her and her brother owns a couple of karate schools around Toronto. And I was teaching Muay Thai there every now and then. So I'm running a class and I'm just sitting outside. She's finishing up and it's a youth class. And it's in Oakville. I don't know if you know Oakville near Toronto, but yeah. It's very rich. Like for a long time, it was one of the richest cities in Canada. Like I did
I didn't know that.
I did a mail out one day, and you can go to the Canada Post and you can select the type of people you want to mail out to, your publicity, right? And there's a section that's with salary, how much income is produced in a certain home. There was nothing under 100 grand.
Damn.
Apartments, people there made more than 100 grand a year. So the income that was made in those households. So the point is that I'm sitting there before the class and I'm waiting for my ex-wife to finish her class. The class finishes. You got the kids that are coming back and the parents are picking up the kids' stuff. I'm sitting there and I'm sure most people don't realize what's happening here, but you get people that are, I have a guy in mind. He was VP at TELUS. So he made extremely, he was doing very well for himself. Like, a lot of people reported to him, but he picked up the shit after his children instead of having the children pick up their own stuff. Literally, the kids would get off the mat, pick up their shoes and run outside.
Yeah.
When the dad is sitting there just picking up their geese, picking
they
up their stuff.
They probably don't even know where clothes go.
That's scary, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No fucking responsibilities.
Yeah.
Do you think that teaching martial art from a young age to those kids is going to try? Or do you try to instill that in those kids?
100%, like, man. 100%. I even talk about their posture, man. I tell them how to stand.
Yeah.
I tell them how to like present themselves, like when, you know what I mean? Like I tell them not to slouch or lean on the wall or like just their demeanor. I explain what that means. I talk about body language. I talk about all kinds of stuff to the kids that I coach.
Good for you. Good for you. Cause I think that's something that's extremely important. I think martial art brings that to, I strongly believe, maybe I can ask you, you're a younger guy. Maybe you have a different opinion on this, but I've discussed this with a few other people and I think, one thing I'd like to see is not mandatory. Yeah, I don't like mandatory because it seems like you're forcing somebody to do something, but I think it should be highly encouraged and highly subsidized from a young age. Kids should have access to martial art. It should be highly subsidized so that good teachers can actually live off of teaching and not worry about just being a business, because a lot of the passion for martial art from instructors, in my opinion, is lost trying to make money. So there's a fine line between being a great gym and being a McDojo, because if you're a great gym, you probably don't make that much money. If you're a McDojo, you make money, but your content is garbage.
Yeah.
So what do you think about teaching kids from a young age to, not again, not mandatory, but extremely encouraged?
Well, if they were to include it as a school sport, would be, yeah. I think it would be a great thing. If they could make it accessible to school kids, like, I think just the impact it would have on their life. And like, people are so naive to the value that you get from being exposed to a martial art in any capacity. People are so naive to the value from that. Some people are against it, man. Like, there's people who are anti-martial arts. There's people who are like, oh, that'll make my kids violent. I'm like, you fucking idiot. That'll do the opposite.
Got to control the monster, man.
You know what I mean? They have to be exposed to the monster. Once I used to get in fights a lot as a kid. Like, I used to be...
Wow, that does not surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was telling my parents that I was like a very badly behaved kid and I was very impulsive and very this and very that. And like, even up into my early teens, like I used to brawl. I'd get kicked out of hockey games. I'd get, you know what I mean? Like, I had so many penalty minutes in hockey, but when I did martial arts, suddenly that switched. I became a fighter in the gym, but then fighting outside kind of like took a back seat. I didn't get in fights anymore. I stopped getting in fights. I make that like, it's hilarious. As soon as I knew how to fight, I didn't get in fights anymore. I can count on one hand the street fights I've been in since I've started training.
And why is that? Why do you think is that?
I'm not interested. Also, it's my ego, man. My ego's been checked. I don't give a shit. I'm not interested in measuring my cock with somebody on the street.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. I don't know.
You want to tickle the dragon? The dragon
if they
tail?
If they want to tickle the dragon's tail, that's different. But not in a hostile way. You know what I mean? I don't really give a shit. Like, you learn to, like, we learn to dismiss people so easily. Like, oh, you're a fucking loser. I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
That contest, if you will. But yeah, I used to fight a lot as a kid. And then, like, as soon as I got into martial arts, I became, you could say, less violent. Or maybe my violence was channeled.
I'm not sure. I'll put some thought into what you just said there. I don't necessarily consider martial arts violent. It's a weird, I don't know, I have a weird bias when it comes to martial art. It has taught me everything I know.
Okay.
The man that you're looking at today comes from martial arts.
Yeah.
That is what made me what I am today.
What age did you start?
I did a bit of karate as a kid, but I competed in basketball throughout high school, throughout, I had a fucked up youth, man. Like from 14 to 20, I was, I dropped out of school. I was 14 years old. I did a lot of stupid shit for 6-7 years, and then I went back to school. When I went back to school, I discovered pumping iron. Nice. And around the same time, I started doing martial arts. So I've been at it for 12, 15 years, some along nice. Those lines, but all the time, right? So,
yeah.
But I think what's interesting is that I'm old enough now to understand the value that it bring, that it did bring to my life. Like, I see it as I work or I have relationships with other people my age, and I'm like, wow, you have no idea of your capacities. You've never been tested. You don't know adversity. You have no clue. This is going to sound really fucked up what I'm going to say, but there's a guy I have in mind. I'm not going to name names or anything, but he's the type of person that's proud to take the less steps possible. Like he said during COVID that his laziness he's proud of. Oh, I barely have to walk X number of feet every day.
Great for you, motherfucker.
Yeah, but all I could think is that he has a young child. He has a young kid that's less than 8 years old. He has a wife. And all I can think of is you're lazy as hell. You're becoming really fat. You get proud out of the things you should be ashamed of. And you are negating all the true things a man should do. Your number one responsibility as a man is to protect your family. If a guy with my knowledge and experience would walk into your house, what the fuck could you do? And I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I don't wish that to him. I'm just using as an example. There's a lot of fucked up people out there, and people that are used to violence are ready to do violence.
On a drop of a dime, man.
What the fuck are you going to do? What the fuck is that guy can do if there's
a maniac? Has he ever thrown a punch?
No. Fuck, he'd probably break his wrist.
Oh,
I don't even know. I think he would freeze. I don't even think he'd try.
Yeah.
I don't even think that he would try.
Man, yeah. That's something else, man. Like, so many guys fucking think, like, oh, I just knocked that fool out. I knocked that fool out. Everyone, how many guys say that? How
try
many guys
me.
Say they're going to knock some fool out? You will kiss my fist with your mouth repeatedly.
That's the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that not a technique?
You'll punch me in the...
I'll mouth punch you.
Yeah, you'll mouth my fist repeatedly. I'm, you know, let's go.
It's interesting that you said something. I want to get back to that because that's very wise for your age to say that. The more you understand violence, the more you understand your, I'm going to start calling it the monster. Somebody said that the other day and I really like it.
The monster. That's it.
Yeah. The more you understand your monster, the more you understand. I tend to see the monster as a very aggressive dog. If the dog is on the leash, the dog listens. But every now and then, you have to unleash the monster. Mm-hmm. But 99.99999% of time, monster is just eating a bone and just just
at in his bay. Crate.
He's in his crate and he's at bay. But somebody, I think it might have been you, fuck, 3 days ago that called it the monster. And since then, I keep on. I love
that analogy, man. I love thinking about it. I love thinking about it as the monster, like facing the monster. Nobody even wants to acknowledge the monster
I'm taking notes. I'm taking my cell phone out because I'm working on a t-shirt line. Nice. And I think I'm going
to... We're onto something here.
But I've been trying to explain this for years and I never thought about calling it a monster. Mm-hmm. I always think it's like the atrocities that you're able that you're capable of doing. You need to understand yourself in order to know what you're capable of.
Yeah. Well, I think people are so separated from nature nowadays that we're separated from nature. We're so far separated from violence, at least in our society where we live here in Canada.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
People are so far separated from violence that they think that action movies are like real. They think that shit is, they get their idea of how violence works from movies and from video games. They've never, because they're so far separated from it, they're so quick to criticize those who are who actually have to use it. They're quick to criticize the people who hold society together. They're quick to criticize the people who use violence in any way. But, and they say, oh, you should have done this. You should have done that. Shame on you. Shame on you. But they shame violence in all contexts. Like, they shame it even when it's, I think, necessary, because they themselves are so far separated from violence as a necessity that they demonize it. They think that, like, oh man, like, how barbaric that had to end that way, that police officer had to do X. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
So you side with, so you understand the value of police officers.
Absolutely. I value police officers and law enforcement and military and all these, so highly, man. I have a personal relationship with them too. Like, I know a lot of people who are military and police and who the people who hold the line of society, you know what I mean? People who are trained in violence, people who understand violence, you know what I mean? And obviously, yes, there's instances where that gets out of hand and abused and is inappropriate and is disgusting in some cases, you know what I mean? Like, but in terms of as a whole, in some way, shape, or form, even for civilians, let's take that whole aspect out of it. Even for civilians to understand violence, it's so rare nowadays.
Again, I'm very impressed by the way you think. It's a beautiful thing. I honestly hope that you can kind of impact the children that you're teaching with a bit of that knowledge. I hope you do teach what you're talking about right now, because of course there's assholes, police officers, but there's assholes everywhere. No matter where you look, there's an asshole. And it's fucking easy to criticize something after the moment too. Cause I gotta tell you, there's instances where I've been outside of a ring and I had to do something, and looking back, I'm like, oof, maybe I shouldn't have gone as far as the situation went. But in the heat of the moment, are you going to tell me that if you're defending yourself, that you're thinking about everything? No. You put your hands on me, I'm breaking that arm and I'm snapping your neck.
Yeah, and you don't have time to think twice about anything.
You become so trained after a while that somebody touches you, you break that wrist and that right hand's right down the middle. And I used to say that to my ex all the time. She likes to play, like, she likes to fuck with me. Like, she liked to just walk around and start punching me. And I've hurt her a few times and I'm like, you need to stop doing that.
Did she train too at all?
No.
No.
Like, she did a few classes of Krav Maga, but never crazy. Mm. But it's one of those things that if you want to start fucking with me, I'm happy to fuck with you, but you're going to be hurting a bit too.
Yeah.
It's, if you're going to punch me, chances are I'm going to parry you. And especially that she did it without even looking. Like, I'm not paying attention. I'm doing something. She smacks me. So I just react. I block and I do. I'm like, fuck. Stop.
She's in you, man. Yeah.
Stop doing that.
Yeah, she's poking the monster now.
Yeah. Fuck. It's on the leash. Leave the monster alone.
Leave the monster alone.
But I hope it does. I hope that knowledge that you're already acquiring is going to be passed on to the children that you teach. I really hope that.
Yeah, man. I put violence into context. Like, I show them, like, or let's say martial arts, or let's say fighting. We put that into context. Like, I don't buy into this fucking horse shit culture that's being perpetuated of, like, never use your, like, they literally disarm kids in school of the idea that they can defend themselves. I talk to parents of kids and they're super concerned about it. And like, yeah, my kid was scolded for defending himself. And I'm like, well, tell your kid that I'm proud of them too. I'm happy that he fucked that kid up.
There was a great meme on Facebook about exactly that. It's like a dad that says, oh, I received a call from my child's school today. And they said that he got in a fight. And he's like, what I really wanted to know is how was he with the distance? Did he close the distance properly? How was his takedown? Was he blocking punches? Like, did he go for a submission?
Yeah. How was his execution?
See, that would be me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he sloppy? Was he brawling, or was it actually technical?
Come on, man. Know your distance.
The fuck are you doing, child?
Yeah. But like, when they have this culture in schools, man, like, this makes, in my opinion, bullying actually worse, because bullies never get checked.
Mm-hmm.
Bullies never get checked. Bullies have never faced the consequences. So then kids can be little turds And like, cause no one's checked them. No one's told that kid no in his life.
No
one's popped him in his face. So he's never learned boundaries. So when the kids are not allowed to use physicality in any way, shape, or form, that goes with them for the rest of their life. They have no boundaries now. They think that they can scream at people and call them whatever they want. And they think that they, you know what I mean? Like they think they can get away with anything. And I think we're seeing like the grown up version of that on like university campuses where kids who have grown up like that, no one's ever checked that fool before.
Yeah.
So they
check that fool.
That's it. Check that fool.
Did you just actually make a reference from, the 90s?
'80s? Yes, sir.
Jeez. Bang, bang. I like you even more now. Fuck.
Yeah, man. But yeah, but nobody checks these fools. And then like. They grow up and they're screaming like, bah, bah, bah. You know, they'll scream in your face about, like, cause you have a different opinion than them. Imagine that. Imagine someone thinks differently than you.
But that's okay.
You know what I mean?
That's another art that's being lost. We do not encourage discussions.
No.
And educated discussions. Like, we don't encourage people to do research and then debate it. Like, what's going on right now? Take COVID, for example.
Oh, fuck.
Can you imagine if you allowed a place for a real discussion? To really look, stop looking at the way you feel about it. Stop looking at the fear that it generates in people, but really have scientists on that believes, because there's people on both sides, but it seems like we're preventing the doctors or the scientists that don't believe in the measures that we've put in place. We don't give them a voice. They don't have a platform that they can be heard. And every time that they're heard, it looks like they're talking about them like they're conspiracist theorists. Mm-hmm. The conspiracies. Why do we not give platforms on any subject? I just took COVID because it's fucking, we're right in the middle of it.
Well, silence them, shouldn't we, right? No, I'm kidding. But like, that's the mentality is that, any uncomfortable thing that disagrees with me should therefore be censored, blocked, and not exist in the eyes of the public.
You know what I mean? And it's feelings too. It's that's what I find the most interesting and the scariest at the same time is emotions have become as important as facts. Mm-hmm. I've said this so many times on this podcast, and I'm going to say it again. Fuck your emotions. I don't give a fuck about your emotions. I'm not somebody that walks around tries to piss people off because I don't. But if I'm giving you a fact, and hello.
Just a second, I just got to let him in.
Yeah, man. It is interesting. We're sitting in the front of the gym, so that was bent to happen. All good though. We'll let a customer in. So it's not a customer. It's a fucking coach. It's crew. Get your fucking keys, crew. What the fuck, David? I took What's going on, man? Yeah, we're good, man. Nice to see you. God damn, you're a big boy now.
Look at this guy.
Look at this guy. Fucking Christ. Have you found the roids, bro?
He's a scary boy.
He's a big boy.
Try holding pads for him, man.
I'd hold pads for him. Some of the guys I held pads for were above.
Actually, you got big boys, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm good. I like big boys. I like to fill the pads.
Yeah.
My elbows don't like it, though. Afterwards, you're hurting a bit, but
damn,
it destroys a body. So it's a weird segue, but the damage that you take from holding pads, like I used to do sessions after session.
It's got
to
be terrible. That's why I think Jeff's had these surgeries, you know what I mean?
I wouldn't be surprised that you get as battered, if not, just by holding pads.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to hit them.
It's a lot more fun to hit them.
I do like to hold pads, though, I gotta say. Oh, yeah,
I guess you get, it's intense, though. You get into it with the fighter, you know what I mean? You get fired up with them while you're doing it.
Not only that, but if you look at very good pad holders, they're mimicking what the fighter is doing. Mm-hmm. If I'm holding pads for a combination as simple as a right cross and a left hook, I'm not just extending my arms. I'm actually throwing I'm going to be throwing a cross at you at the same time to meet you, but I'm not extending my arm. So all I'm doing, but I'm snapping my hip and I'm pivoting my back leg the same way. And when I come, I'm charging. I'm pop and I'm charging for the left hook because I'm pop, pop. I'm just holding pads. I'm just not extending. Instead of popping, I'm just pop, pop. But my hips are moving. That you need to give
art form, man. It's an art form in itself. Like how to hold pads. So many people suck at holding pads.
I think most people suck. I've had surgery on my right elbow because of that, because of hyperextensions upon hyperextension upon hyperextension. You know, people that when you land that nice right, they feel the power and they're like, ooh, they get twitchy about it. They don't take it like you should. They just like, eh, they kind of scare away from. And what happens? You overextend and all the impact goes into your elbow.
Yeah, where your elbow locks up, man. Yeah, I get mad about that sometimes.
But that's how you snap your elbow. That is how I have cartilage problems on my right elbow due to years and years and years of hyperextension. So pad holding is not an easy art form.
Learning how to be a training partner in general, sometimes it's like a thing you need to teach as well. Like for like martial arts aside, like learning how to have martial arts practiced on you, or learning how to mimic a fight is a whole different skill in itself. You actually have to have some kind of understanding of how fighting works in order to allow the moves to be done on you and like to like formulate like a strategy that people can, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's just Dave is winking at me from over there. The baby blues are kind of fucking with me.
I got him.
Yeah, I know he did look. I saw that. fuck, I've known this guy forever. He's a good dude. He's a big boy. He did not used to be this big. Holy fuck, he got, and he's not that fat either. He's just heavy.
He's getting leaner too. Like he's leaning out and he looks like an absolute animal. We walk into Walmart sometimes and people are scared of this guy, man.
Yeah, but he's a good dude. Like he has a good heart.
Him and I will walk into Walmart at night. He'll have like his hoodie on and his traps are popping through his hoodie.
Yeah.
And we're walking and people are like looking at him when he's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But again, he's a good dude. He's had an interesting life.
Yes.
He's had a very.
You should get him on here, man.
Yeah, I know. That's funny enough. That's what I was thinking when he was right there. I should have. Maybe I'll just leave the setup as it is now and I'll try to get him because I was supposed to have another one at 2 o'clock, but the guy has a family emergency, so he canceled on me.
He'd be an awesome podcast, man. That guy can talk. He's got some great stories, man.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is, I think he's, what time is he teaching at? Is he teaching today?
I think, yeah. He'll teach at 11.
Okay. Because he was here early. Or was he just here to pick
teaching,
up?
I think he's teaching privates. He's getting his coffee now.
Okay. Because what I could do is hold pads for him. We could do pads and then we do a podcast afterwards.
Yeah, man.
There's nothing like it. I've had the chance to like go spend a couple of days in the woods with a survivalist expert and then we did a podcast talking about it. Do you know Randy Turner?
I do.
So went to the range with
him.
Very well. Yeah, fucking, what a beautiful human being.
I love Randy, man.
He's honestly, I talk about him on the podcast all the time. He is one of, I don't even know how to describe this man. I don't know what to say.
When I was a teenager, he was one of the guys I was looking up to. Him and I did some of the same like competition sessions together. He'd come into the grappling sessions. He'd come into those when he was fighting pro MMA and like, I remember I'd train with him and I thought it was so cool that I'd train with Randy. Like I looked up to that guy a lot. And I remember going to the casinos and watching his fights early on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was also one of the turning moments like of when I'm like, I want to do this. I want to be an MMA fighter.
Have you ever spoken to him about his life? Have you ever gone into detail as to what he believes, how he sees things, what he's been through?
Not in great length. I'd really like to though, man.
If you, I'm plugging my own self in there. Fuck it. It's my show. I can do whatever the fuck I want. But I did a podcast with him where he goes and it's, he's a brilliant man. Like he's not the guy that, because people think brilliant. Oh, so you know what? Let me rephrase this. Words are very important. He's a very wise man. Mm-hmm. He's extremely wise. Like he's one that knows the monsters. He knows his monster and he knows how to put a leash on it.
Yes.
He honestly, up to now, he has to be one of my favorite guys I've ever met, like in my life, the way he thinks. Fuck, man, that dude is. This is the type of guy that should be in schools talking to children, talking to teens, having conversations about what life is really about. Being rich is not a mark of success. I'm sorry, but it's not.
Being or a mark of happiness either, or a mark of fulfillment, or a mark of, you know what I mean? How many unhappy rich people are there out there?
There's probably forget the rich portion. How many unhappy people is it are out there, no matter what?
Sick society, I know, yeah.
That's not right, though. Because you said something at the beginning of the podcast about people not knowing what makes them happy, what their passions are. And you're absolutely right. How problematic is it that somebody, if I would be ready to bet, and those are statistics that I'm making up as I'm taking them out of my ass right now, but how many people do really know what they're passionate about?
Probably a minority of people.
1 out of 10 people?
Yeah.
Maybe more, vast maybe minority less.
People know what they want, or I keep saying it, but like how they fit into the world. They don't know where they belong, if you will. That sense of meaning is not a thing.
You know what I mean? That's scary. That must be scary to not know what you want to be when you grow up. Like that dumb expression, to not know where you fit in society. What I think it's not only where you fit, is what you can contribute to society. Because I strongly believe people are good inside. Like they want, like you were saying earlier, they want to feel like they're bringing something. They have meaning. They have purpose. Most people want to bring something to their surroundings, to their communities. I've been trying to wrap my head around what can I do to help people find meaning? How to make men great men or better men? And I think the podcast is the way that I can do. Like, I don't know if you guys are inspired by hearing a 24 fucking year old talk the way you talk. To me, you're wiser than most 50 year olds.
Wow. I never really think about it like that. I just think of, yeah, man, like, this is just the way I look at it. And I think martial arts has molded me like that. Just being around successful people, being around people who are like-minded in some way, shape, or form, or just maybe I'll take the word like-minded out of that. Like people who had a goal, people who are goal-driven, being around goal-driven people, I think kind of steered me in that direction. You know what I mean? Also the influence that I had from my, not just my parents, but my grandparents in my life. I was really close to my grandparents. So a lot of principles that like you call me like an old man, kind of like inside.
Even the way you dress. You dress like an old man, bro.
I think it comes from being so close to my grandparents, man. When I was a kid, I even lived in their house.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So like I almost absorbed a lot of, what I look to for guidance is like, is something from like a real old generation. You know what I mean? I resonate a lot with my grandparents.
You understand that that's very natural, right? If you look at tribes, it's not necessarily the parents that are going to raise the kids. It's the elders that are going to raise the kids. So if you have a child and then you have somebody that's 20 years old that's raising a child, what the fuck does that person know yet? Yeah. But then you have elders that are 50, 60, whatever, how many years they are. Those are the people with the knowledge. Those are the people that are wise, that understand how to raise a child. That to me is, I used to not understand, like I was in Toronto for a few years and there's a lot of multi-generational families down there, like Indian people. They come from India and they have, so you have the parents, you have the children, and then you have the grandparents. They all live together. And I was always thinking, like, how the fuck do they do it? I cannot imagine living with my mother and my father in the same house as me when I'm raising children. But as I grow older, I'm like, man, what would I rather be having? What would I rather have? Having a babysitter raise my children when I'm not around? Or would I want to have the grandparents, the people that are emotionally invested in those children, that they want them to succeed? Chances are, if you think about it, you'd much rather have grandparents care of the children. Sorry.
My dad jokes that my grandparents raised me like a 70s kid is what he jokes, because like they, they like when I go to the park with them, like, I was left to my devices, man. Like the way they believed, very old school.
Yeah. But that's okay.
You know what I mean? Their attitude with kids, very old school. But like, cause my grandparents had my dad like late in life, you know?
You don't need to worry about the noise you're making. We're all hearing you. It's all good.
Dave.
Yeah, it's all good. Fucking people have no respect anymore.
I know.
Such a dick.
Just as loud as he can, eh?
Oh, yeah, he's doing it on purpose. He's such a...
Just FIFI, folks.
You just dropped something, though. Like right there. Oh, fuck, you looked again. You looked again, motherfucker. It's not a good morning for Dave.
Gotcha. We owe him shots for that, we do.
Yeah, we do. But we do leg kicks. I like leg kicks.
That's a good idea, actually. I might start using that now.
Oh, yeah, because they don't show. That's the worst part. You look like you got butt fucked because you can't walk properly. Oh, fuck, but yeah. So you were raised as a 70.
People watch you like walk down. Oh, that poor guy's crippled. You know what I mean? They think
he's crippled or he had a really fucked up Friday night.
Yeah.
So you were saying that your dad jokes about.
He's like, my parents like left you to like, my parents treated you like me. You know what I mean? Like my parent, you know, like that's a joke that my dad made with me recently. And I'm like, you know what? That's kind of funny that is the case, man. Like I spent so much time with my grandparents because my parents were working full time.
Yeah.
And so my grandparents would take me everywhere with them. I was always with them in my early part of my life, kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the influence that they have in my life, it's like, I think maybe that's why I'm an old man. I don't know, man.
But I think there's such a thing as old souls. I think there are, I don't know that I believe in reincarnation and all that stuff, but I do believe that some people are a lot wiser than others by default. Just, it's hard to think that reincarnation doesn't exist when you have kids your age. Because to me, you're still a kid. You don't know shit yet. But yet you
don't know shit.
But you still understand. You're years ahead of what I was at your age. So I can't even imagine what you're going to be able to accomplish in your 30s and your 40s and after your fight career.
Yeah.
It's you really strike me. It's been, like I was saying, it's been a while since I've seen a lot of bright young men, but not fighters. Fighters are not the smartest people. If you agree to get punched in the face for a living, I don't know that you're the smartest, and I agreed to do it too, so I'm in that category as well. So I'm not the smartest guy either, but it takes a special type of human being to agree to get punched in the face. It's very counterintuitive.
I don't know, man. I don't feel the same reward from anything that I do from fighting. Fighting is all I want to do, man. I think about it like I've got, like I'm OCD. I'm like obsessive about mm-hmm. things that I'm into usually.
Yeah, yeah.
But like fighting has been the one that never changed. Like since I was a kid, I was thinking about, or like teenager, let's say, I was thinking about it. I'd get in a fight, always thinking about it.
Yeah.
Just it replays in my head. I sit at home, I'm cooking something and like, a fight scenario, somehow I relate it to that.
Yeah.
Somehow I relate this to a fight, or I relate that to a fight, or I relate this to a technique, or you know what I mean? It's like everything in my life I can draw back to fighting. I can draw a line back to fighting from it.
Do that naturally. It just, your brain goes there.
Yeah, I'm fucking, I don't know what it is, man. I'm fucking out there, but...
I'll rephrase maybe what I said. I don't mean that fighters are stupid, but it takes a stupid person to step into a ring, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I think you will not learn anything. I've started saying that life is fighting and fighting is life. I don't know where... Fuck, I need to write that shit down. I've said it a few times now.
Life is fighting and fighting is life.
And I strongly believe it. There is nothing I did not learn... In a ring, in a gym, on mats, that cannot be applied to life.
Yeah, it's the greatest metaphor for life too. Walking into a ring, like putting everything on the line physically, it's a representation for what you're living on a daily. That's what fighting is. Fighting is the embodiment of what it is to be a human being.
Damn,
it's what it's living. It's life. It's life is a fight, like you're saying. But when you experience that physically, or you do that on in the context of a pro fight, like that's a metaphor for living right there, mm-hmm. for struggle, for adversity, for things are going to go wrong. Things are going to get messy. It's like, who's going to end up with their arm raised?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like who's at the end after all that?
How do you feel? I don't know why I'm asking this, but how do you feel when you're just about to step in, when you're next to go in, they're preparing the ring or they're picking up somebody that just got knocked out, but it's your turn to go. They
call your name.
Yeah, they call your name, or just before they call your name. How do you feel?
In the change room, I'm always a hyper guy, man. I'm always full of nervous energy, like in my normal time. But then, like, it's a special kind of excitement, man. I feed off that, though. I've learned to feed off of it.
You like it? You enjoy that moment before you step in?
There's parts of it you don't like, and there's parts of it that you do like. You know what I mean? I started to enjoy it now, though. I started to be like, man, like, I'm only going to experience this once.
This ever. Moment right now.
I'm only going to experience this once. I might as well enjoy it, because when I'm an old man, you know, my chance is over. Like, this is my chance to be this and to be great and to do great things and to fight and earn glory and to, man, like, this is my time to do this.
God damn, bro.
I like it, man.
No, that's not why I'm saying goddamn, bro.
It excites me.
You know what I mean? No, what I like about what you said is that you're actually conscious of the fact that this will go away one day. You will not have this.
It's got a lifespan.
No, but your fighting career is not going to be that long. That's another thing that I think a lot of fighters don't realize. I had that conversation. Have you ever heard of a guy called Jonathan Goulet? He was old school UFC about the same time as GSP. Like, they were training partners. Same thing with Patrick Côté. And once he retired, like, he's always imagined that when he would finish the UFC, he'd be a millionaire. He looks at a GSP that's worth like 10-20 millions. You look at a Patrick Côté that's, I don't know how much he's worth, but he's doing very well for himself post fighting. And then he retired from the UFC with debts. He went on a massive depression for years until he recentered himself and understood. Like, I did a podcast with him and I'm almost crying. Like, he's telling me a story and I'm bawling. I just wanted to stop it and give him a hug. But he did not have, nobody told him that. Nobody said to him, like, his coaches were not there to tell him that, you know, your time's limited. You have to go at it for everything you have because your time is limited. You're not going to be able to do this for 30 years. Or I hope you're not. I hope no fighter still fights in their 40s, because some of them do it for fun, which if that's the case, that's great. But if you're fighting for money in your 40s, holy fuck, that's brutal to watch, man.
Yeah. It's sad to watch, like, skeletons of old fighters jumping in the octagon. And like, what ends up happening, I was talking to somebody in the change room about this not long ago. I was talking to somebody about certain fighters that, like, the new generation, these seventh grade kids who are just getting into the sport now because of fucking Instagram, they're like, oh, that legend, you know, oh, he sucks, he just loses. That's their impression of that guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they are only starting to see him in his 40s.
When he was past his prime.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, that guy sucks. He's ignorant kid. So, you know what I mean? I never want to be that. I never want to be that legend who then gets his body dragged afterwards. You know what I mean?
It has to be one of the hardest thing to be able to...
To let go, eh?
To let go. One thing that I think that GSP did right is recognize when he was starting to lose it. He was still champ when he retired. But he was on the way down. You can tell that he wasn't at his peak anymore, and he was smart enough to recognize it and to leave. I don't know if he'll ever come back. I hope he doesn't, because of exactly what you said there, that people will just remember what... You're only as good as your last fight, right?
Yeah.
But, man, it's interesting to... It's interesting for me to hear somebody at your age realize that. And I'm sorry I keep on referencing your age, but it's not something that we see very... I get to meet a lot of people. I don't get to talk to people that are that enlightened at your age. It's very refreshing. And you're at the right place. I think with having the guys that you, as crazy as Crew Jeff is, there's method to his madness.
He understands my brain pretty well, man. Jeff, out of any coach I've had, like, he understands how my mind works and he knows how to talk to me before I fight. He knows how to, get the monster out of me. He knows how to put it back. You know what I mean?
He unleashes and releashes the monster.
That's it. He understands my mind really well. So I think maybe that's like one of the main reasons I click with him as a coach is he knows how I think and he knows how to mentally coach me.
That's very important. I had another podcast with him about 2 days ago, and that's a bit what we were talking about, the difference between a boss and a leader.
Yeah.
He has the mentality of a leader. He understands that all of his fighters are different, that they need to be treated differently. They don't like the same thing. The techniques cannot, there's no way I can teach you the same technique as I would do, Matar. Like, it would make no sense for me.
We're not going to play the same game, no.
And even mentally, like, forget the physical aspect, the fact that he's fucking 6'8", 110 pounds there. I'm exaggerating, but the dude's like 6'1".
120, buddy.
Yeah, it's good 10 pounds. Don't make fun. But I think, yeah, you're surrounded by good people here. I think you're in a good, I think the way Jeff is actually works with you.
Mm-hmm. And, I can honestly describe the feeling of, I'm about to walk out to a fight, let's say, being with Peter, being with Jeff. I feel like these guys are going to battle with you. They're not watching you go to battle.
Yeah.
They're going into battle with you. Mm. That's how it feels like. I just did jiu-jitsu before, but like I've had coaches where it really just felt like they were looking at you and like screaming at you. That was it.
Yeah.
They were just yelling at you and they'd get frustrated and you know what I mean? I've dealt with all kinds of coaches. Peter and Jeff are the type that go to battle with you. You know what I mean? Like they're leading the charge. That's the leader mentality. And, I could say the same for a lot of the people I choose to kind of surround myself with now. Now that I've experienced so many coaches and training partners, I kind of really pick and choose who I work with a lot.
Smart guy.
You know what I mean? Like I kind of know what it is that I'm looking for. So I know that's especially in the case of training partners, in the case of strength and conditioning coaches, and in the case of anybody I work with. You know what I mean? Like I'll shout out my strength and conditioning coach, Andrew.
Yeah.
Like I've dealt with.
What's his last name?
Andrew Griffith Jones.
Cool.
Amazing coach. Like the amount of improvements I've seen in like a short time working with him. I started working with him in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We were training in a park.
Yeah.
Pushing sleds, medicine balls. We were doing all of our like normal, both indoor and outdoor workouts in like a field in the park. And this was early in the pandemic when people were like just giving us dirty looks for not being in our homes.
Oh yeah. Fuck them.
You know what I mean? We were in a soccer field doing workouts, but where the leader kind of mentality is there is like, I've dealt with a lot of strength and conditioning coaches who have, you know, and like, this is not, I'm not saying it's bad, but like, they'll just give me like a workout or they'll, you know what I mean? This guy does it with me.
Yeah.
This guy does the exercise with me. I do sprints. He does sprints. I do isometrics. He's doing isometrics. He's doing the workout alongside me the whole time.
The difference between a leader and a boss.
He's doing it with me. Yeah.
But again, that's the difference between a boss will scream at you from his desk, giving you orders, barking you orders. An actual leader will be in the trenches with you, will be doing the work, will be showing you. Why do you think you call it a leader? Because he is leading.
Yeah.
A boss just is not there, detached, screams at you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're, again, that's a wise decision to surround yourself with people that not only are knowledgeable, because there's a lot of good coach out there, but it's important to find someone that fits with you.
Yeah, my professor, Peter's leading the way big time too, man. The guy, like Peter and I are always pushing each other, train together. You know what I mean? Like he's in there with me. Yeah. He doesn't just tell me what to do. He's in there with me. He trains with me. The guy competes. And like I said, like when he competes often too. Like he's leading the charge. He's at the front lines of like all the other competitors, everyone who decided to compete that day, talking jiu-jitsu. they'll all stop and we're all invested in our coach because our coach is fighting at all the same tournaments that we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that they are. And, it's the biggest, like, honor is that he asks me to coach him. My coach asks me to coach him.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, okay, that's when I'm like really, that's when I get more nervous than my own fights. You know what I mean? Is when that's when the pressure's on. Cause I'm like, oh damn, like can't let my coach down.
He's a scary man.
Peter?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
If you don't know who Peter is, go check out the website. He always has a smile, but he has a mischievous, like a devilish smile. Yeah. I'd walk in the gym and I'd see Jeff, say hi to Jeff. He's rolling with somebody. He always stops in the middle of rolling, looks at me and he smiles like, "What's up, Nick?" I'm like, "Oh, you motherfucker."
Yeah.
I can see it in your eyes. He's people that smiles as much as he does, be worried.
Yes.
But he knows something that you don't.
Absolutely. He's an animal right now too. Like how fucking good he is at jiu-jitsu, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I clicked with him early on. Him and I were together on a previous team. I'd show up like late at night. I'd be the only guy there for the last class. And then it would be purple belt Peter and white belt me.
Yeah. And a great, great fucking setting for development.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And he'd give me a free private like every Wednesday night, basically. That's how it started. That's how I got to know him.
Yeah.
So like he was jiu-jitsu wise, he's the guy I clicked with.
That's beautiful, man. That sounds to me more of a mentorship than it is just coaching. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference between... That's one other thing that I see Crew Jeff do with his fighters. There's more of a... It's not just training. There's the personal aspect. There's psychological aspect. There's... Everything is being put together. There's, you know, there's a very important connection between the body, mind, and spirit. And nothing works perfectly if all the three are not integrated or not understood and connected.
Yeah. Well, that's why I've chosen this, man. I've chosen my circle very carefully and selectively, and that's it. That's why. It's because I just, you know that feeling, like you know when your environment is right, and you know when it's off. You know when there's poison in it.
Of course.
And you know when there's some dickhead. You know what I mean? Like there's people that you don't want part of it as well. You know what I mean? Like this team in general is great for that. Like we got a fucking solid crew. Our morning crews and stuff. Like you see, like our morning sessions we do with the MMA crew. We got a solid crew. But as of right now, I think it's almost fortunate that our circle is small. You know what I mean?
But it has to be.
Our COVID circle, you know what I mean?
But it has to be small.
Yeah.
There's two, you know, there's two type of people in your life, people that bring you down and people that bring you up. That's it. And it's not a 50-50 split either. It's a very small amount of people that will bring you up. Yeah. If you find those people, keep them fucking close, man.
It's why this is a lonely lifestyle. Being a fighter is a lonely lifestyle in the sense that like you got to cut out so many people. You cut out all the cancer.
You can replace the word fighter by human being. Being a successful human being is a very, very lonely place.
Yeah. You gotta filter out like so many people from your life that maybe you even grew up with.
You'll see as you grow old, it might be family members. Yeah. It's fucked up to say that.
I know.
Sometimes you have to.
Dude, I know. Yeah.
Dude, it's a dude. It's been an hour. It's been an hour. Do you have, is there something you want to add? Is there something? Cause I already asked you my question that I normally ask. Fuck, you know what? I'll ask it again.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like it's a valuable question. If you could speak to your 14-year-old self, that was like 10 years ago, you fuck. If you could speak to your 10-year-old self, what would you tell that kid knowing what you know now?
Like I said, I tell him to stay the course. I tell him whatever he's dreaming of now, it will be yours.
Yeah.
I'd maybe say to the same things we've been talking about, to beware of people, to not be so naive or used in any way. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I would do nothing differently if I go back to that age. I would stay exactly on the course, and I'm pretty confident I ended up in the same place.
Good for you, man. On that note, I will wish you a good day, and we out, bro.
Great talking to you, man.